confident of this, I will see the goodness of the Lord. God is a good God, isn't he? And God always comes through, doesn't he? If you trust him, he will never fail you. He will never let you down. Thank you, Voices of Praise. Thank you, Walter, for your music ministry. I praise God today for our graduates and for all of their family who are present today. I want all the family members to stand. If you're a family of the graduate, please stand. Parents, grandparents, other parents, aunts, uncles. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Thank you so much for coming. And also to you, Justin, congratulations for graduating from HT, and your family is here as well. Thank God for that. And just before I share the scripture lesson, I do want to also say again that we will not have our semi-annual meeting on Wednesday. We're going to reschedule it for July. It's listed in the bulletin, but we're going to reschedule it. And please also note the announcements about Children's Day. And we are planning something special with our children on the fourth Sunday. That whole weekend is going to be special. We want your prayers and we want your support. And, of course, again, thanks to the top ladies of distinction who are worshiping with us today, many of whom are members of Ebenezer Third Baptist, and some I've not seen in a while since we had noonday Bible study. No. Some... I've seen our members, but one of the members was a member of our noonday Bible study group, and I haven't seen her in a while, so that's what I meant. All right. I want to read from the book of James, chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 4 and verse 12. And also, Soleil and Kyra did a wonderful job with their lay messages today. Good job. James 1, 1 through 4 and 12, the New International Version. The text says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." The word of our God. Resilience. Today we honor and celebrate our graduates. These young women and young men have worked hard and made us proud. And I want to say to our graduates, you share this graduation season with another young woman whose name and activities might not be familiar. A young African-American tennis player named Coco Gauff also graduated high school this year. And Coco Gauff is a rising star in the tennis world. She has already won a championship on the WTA Tour. She was a finalist in the singles event at the French Open in May. She was also a finalist in the doubles event at the French Open as well. She left the French Open last month at 18 years of age, having won nearly $2 million in prize money. Coco Gauff is among the top 20 best tennis players in the world. She has traveled all over the world to compete in tennis matches. And Coco is winning in a sport which is in which a small handful of African Americans participate. And that's a remarkable resume for a teenager. Coco's achievements did not come overnight. Over the past 2 years, she has had to work extremely hard to get to where she is today. And I'm sure that it won't be long before Coco wins a Grand Slam tournament, and you'll be hearing about it in a sermon. She almost completed that feat last month. Winning tennis matches isn't easy. You have to train constantly. You have to adjust your game to many different surfaces, grass, hard courts, clay. You have to get accustomed to losing. 1 week, you go far in a tournament. The next week, you lose in the first round. If you're going to make it as a tennis player, you've got to be resilient. You've got to be able to recover, to bounce back and start over. You've got to be able, Soleil, to take the punches and keep going. And that's what I want to share with our graduates today. I want to talk about resilience. We can look at your bios and see your commitment to excellence. All of these young ladies and this young man have applied themselves academically. They are intelligent and hardworking students. And when we read about your future goals, we can see that you are already committed to achieving great things. You're already on the right track. I speak about resilience because it takes more, as Kyra suggested, than lofty goals to make it. It takes the ability to persevere, to hang tough, and as we would say in my era, to take a licking and keep on ticking. That's resilience. Resilience enables a person to push through obstacles and remain steadfast until they accomplish their objectives. Our text in James is about resilience. The writer is concerned that Christians maintain their faith in difficult times. He knows there will be times of trial and testing prior to the end of the world. And so he writes to encourage the church to persevere and hold on to faith. And what he says to the church about perseverance is instructive for our graduates as they continue on their journeys. One thing he says in this passage is sort of interesting. He says, be grateful for trials. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. So this writer goes beyond gratitude. He calls for pure joy. And that sounds ridiculous. Why would anyone be joyful about trials, about being blamed for the decapitation of a cat? Why would anyone be joyful about trials? Trials are tests. Trials are problems. Trials are difficult situations. The writer wants the church to have a positive perspective about trials and difficulties. And one reason is trials will come. No matter how bright you are, no matter how hard you work, no matter how much support you have, trials will come. Another thing is we live in a hostile world. There are persons and there are situations that make the world a troublesome place. School buildings aren't always safe. College campuses aren't always safe. Work environments aren't always safe. And the writer says we should be grateful for trials because they test our faith. Trials, Kyra, show us who we really are. And the writer talks about all kinds of trials. There are all sorts of trials. There is peer pressure. There are financial issues. There is conflict between students and professors. There are Christian trials. which make you question or think about your faith. There are non-Christian trials that test your resolve. The point is, graduates, we will have trials. And we should have the right perspective. Don't go through life with the expectation that life will be trouble-free. That is not the case. And you already know about trials. All of you have completed your education during the COVID-19 pandemic. You've experienced the impact of the pandemic on coursework. You've gone from in-person work to virtual work and back to in-person work. You've gone through the stoppage of activities and the loss of connection with friends and classmates. COVID has impacted your families, impacted your health, and impacted your lives. COVID is a trial. COVID is a test. And COVID is an example of what can happen in life while you're trying to achieve. And so we are doubly proud of you today. You didn't allow COVID to stop you. You didn't allow COVID to deter you. You persevered. He says, trials will come. Be grateful for them. But then he teaches that enduring trials builds character. The text says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. One of the good things about trials is they build character. Going through stuff helps us learn lessons. Lessons about ourselves. Lessons about how strong we really are. The writer tells the church that tests produce steadfastness. Use that word, steadfastness. That means constancy. That means staying power. When Christians are tested, they have to struggle to maintain their faith. They have to study more. They have to pray constantly. They have to remind themselves of the faithfulness of God. And when you press in that way, in the process, you begin to get stronger. You learn to trust God more. That's how you develop resilience. That's how you develop character. You see, character and resilience don't come automatically. Character and resilience come from being tested. Character and resilience come after you've been pushed to your limits and worked to hang tough. Resilience is the bedrock of character. When your back is against the wall and you have to struggle to hold your ground, you develop character. You grow, you get stronger, you discover what you can handle. And that's why the writer says, let perseverance finish its work and have its full effect. This isn't on my paper, just dropped in my spirit. A whole lot of us don't want to go through stuff. We don't want folk to talk about us. We don't want folk to mistreat us. We don't want to struggle to learn. We don't want all of the burdens of life. But it's that kind of stuff that teaches you about yourself. It's that kind of stuff that lets you know you can make it through the storms and the difficulties. The result of enduring a trial is that you come out better than you were. Trials build character. And why is that important? Why is character important? Because there are things in life and there are persons in life that will make you feel like you cannot make it. And when your character is strong, you have the capacity to get up again and to fight against those forces. You're in a room today with a whole bunch of people who love you and care about you and are pulling for you. And you're going to go to college and you're going to go into work environments where that won't always be the case. Where somebody there is trying to shut you down, trying to block your path, and you cannot allow that to happen. That's what character is all about. I told you that Coco Gauff was a finalist at the French Open last month. And that means she was in the championship match. She had won 6 matches to get to the final, and she lost the championship match to a woman who was the number one female tennis player in the world. But as Coco stood to give her speech during the trophy ceremony, she started crying. And I almost started crying. The camera showed her parents. Her daddy was fighting back tears. Now, she had won as the loser over $1 million. That ain't bad. But she cried. She cried because she didn't win. And when I looked at her, my heart went out to her. But I said to myself, this is a good defeat, because that feeling will stay with her for the rest of her life. She now knows that she can get to the championship match. She now knows if she continues to work hard that one day these will be tears of joy. The loss is character building. It's a good loss because she gains more than she loses. Sometimes you'll lose in life, but sometimes the losses will become stepping stones to your achievement. It builds character. One more thing. The writer also teaches that resilience means continuing to show up. He says, blessed in verse 12 is the one who perseveres under trial. Because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those that love him. Now that verse isn't saying what I just mentioned in my point. The writer is teaching the blessing of resilience. He encourages the church to persevere, because in the end, Christians will receive a crown of life. Now, this isn't on my paper. Let me just drop this off for Christians in the room. Hang on to God and hold on to your faith. Because if you hold on, in the end, you'll get a crown of life. But the writer is saying not only does perseverance build character, it also gets us to our goal. And the goal of the Christian faith is to be with Christ eternally. Christians cannot allow trials and difficulties to keep them from winning the prize. And if that is true, if you can't allow those things to stop you, it means that Christians have to keep being faithful until the end. Now, what does that have to do with resilience? That means, graduates, that we must remain steadfast until we achieve our goals. And another way of saying that is we've got to continue to show up. Despite our problems, despite our troubles, we've got to show up. We've got to show up to class. We've got to show up to study hall. We've got to show up to work. We've got to go to the computer. We've got to go to the library. We've got to go to the gym. We've got to continue to show up. Now, everybody gets tired. You're not going to be the only person tired. Everybody gets frustrated. And everybody wants to sleep in and miss class. But resilience means we've got to show up. And if we keep showing up, we'll get to where we're headed. A whole lot of folk didn't make it in life. It wasn't because they didn't have the opportunity. It's because they stopped showing up. You've got to show up. The old forebears used to say, don't you let nobody turn you around. Keep on showing up. Longfellow wrote, the heights by great men and women reached and kept were not attained by sudden flight. But they, while their companions slept, were toiling upward in the night. Resilience means continuing to show up. It's so beautiful to see these young women and this young man here today. All of you have experienced something that most of us who are older didn't experience during our schooling. You are graduating during a time when the first woman of color is Vice President of the United States. Vice President Kamala Harris is a shining example of what you can achieve when you continue to show up. Her historic election demonstrates that the products of historically black colleges and universities can make it in the halls of power. Go HBCUs. Go HBCUs. Her historic election demonstrates that women of color can be in charge of any arena. Doesn't matter the arena. But you've got to be resilient and you've got to put in the work. If you continue to show up, God's grace will breathe upon your journey. It's just like tennis. There are a lot of good players who can play a fantastic first set. And they might get somebody like Serena or Rafael Nadal down in the first set. They might be leading a higher ranked player and win the first set, but the question is, can they maintain their level during the entire match? And many of them, the level drops off and they lose the match. So how do we maintain our level for the entire journey? How do we remain resilient? Where does resilience come from? It comes from God. God gives us the capacity to hang tough and persevere. And that's why the writer encourages prayer. Some things need the backing of prayer. And I want you to know that prayer is a powerful force. It's more powerful than intelligence. It's more powerful than family and friends. Prayer is a powerful force. You see, you're not going to get every job you want. You're not going to get accepted at every place you apply. Somebody isn't going to like the color of your skin or the texture of your hair. Somebody will tell you that your dreams don't matter, but you've got to continue to show up anyhow. Because if you show up, God will answer prayer. How do you do it? You trust in God. When you go to college, keep on praying. When you go to work, keep on praying, because prayer changes things. Somebody will say, well, you're not going to get the promotion. I'm going to give it to somebody else. And you have to go home and say, I'm going to pray about that thing, because God has got a way of answering our prayers. See, these ladies, I'm done. Top ladies of distinction. They didn't get to where they are for nothing. They got to where they are through hard work, through showing up, and through trusting in God. And most of us in here, if we've achieved anything, it's because of the goodness and the grace of God. We've got these robes on and make us look erudite, make us look like we're so important. But some of us know that were it not for God's grace, we would not be anything. We would not have what we have. Grace woke us up this morning. Grace started us on our way. Thank God for His grace. I want to leave you with this message. It's not really about resilience, but it's in the neighborhood. A father said to his daughter, you graduated with honors. Here's a car that I acquired many years ago. It is several years old. But before I give it to you, take it to the used car lot downtown and tell them I want to sell it and see how much they offer you. The daughter went to the used car lot, returned to her father and said, they offered me $1,000 because it looks very worn out. The father said, take it to the pawn shop. The daughter went to the pawn shop, returned to her father and said, the pawn shop offered $100 because it's a very old car. The father asked his daughter to go to a car club and show them the car. The daughter took the car to the club and returned and told her father, some people in the club offered $100,000. For it, since it's a Nissan Skyline R34, an iconic car and sought after by many. And the father said to his daughter, I wanted you to know that the right place values you the right way. And if you're not valued, do not be angry. It means you're in the wrong place. Those of you who know your value, or those who know your value, are those who appreciate you. Never stay in a place where no one sees your value. Don't let somebody who doesn't know your value tell you how much you're worth. And if you're going to be resilient, if you're going to make it, you've got to know how much you're worth. And you've got to know your value. And you've got to say, wherever you go, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of good parents. I'm a child of the King. God is on my side. As we extend the invitation to Christ, we thank God for what God has done in your lives. And you'd better be grateful as well, because he didn't have to do it. He gave you the strength, the intelligence, the capacity to be where you are right now. And I want all of you to know that just as God does it in these young women, this young man, God does it in anybody. Anyone who comes to him by faith, anyone who wants the power and guidance of God can receive it. So we extend the invitation. As the deacons, ministers, and greeters come, we invite you to come forward to give your life to Jesus. Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. He will give you brand new life, life abundantly. Won't you give your life to him? If you're online, you can join us, ebc3austin.org, at belonging at ebc3austin.org. You can come. Will you stand with me?